Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Paula Poundstone comes to Lincoln tomorrow at 7:30, a performance at the Lead Center, and she joins me this morning on Lincoln Live. Good morning, Paula.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I want to refer back to the first and only opportunity I've had a chance to see you live on stage at the Lead. February 2017, you were there with Dick Cavett.
What a great night that was.
Yeah.
I love Dick Cavett.
I have had him on this show many, many times over the years. Of course, Lincoln, Nebraska guy. And I couldn't help but look at you the entire time, you and Dick up there on stage, and just wonder what was going on behind the stages or the prep work for that particular night. Talk about working with Dick Cavett, would you please?
And we haven't worked together extensively, but it was fun to be with him. I'm trying to think how we, I think we met at the show one time, and then I had him do I know. When he was promoting his book, there was there's an event here in L.A. where writers interview writers, like, on stage.
Yeah.
And he had asked me if I would, if I would be the interviewer. And so that was really how I got to know him a little bit, was from doing that. And we had a great time. And then I think it was his idea that we worked together in the weekend. So we were on the heels of our successful Writers Interview Writers Night. That's what it was.
Okay.
And so I had read his book for the purposes of interviewing him about his book. And then I did a little bit of Dick Cavett research, not extensive. I won't be the one writing the biopic, but I know some about him. You know what I had not known until I researched it was his impact on Watergate.
Yes, Nixon talked about him.
Very proud of. Yes, I think I think that's his most proud achievement, is that Nixon, in a private but taped conversation, I believe it was with Haldeman maybe, cursed about Dick and asked if there was anything they could do about him,
mm-hmm.
like in a dark way.
Coming from the mouth of Richard Nixon, that's a little scary.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah.
Yep. So I had not realized that, one of the things that he did was he sort of kept the topic in front of us. On his show, he would have he would have people that were the players in that whole thing, and it kept people, because we have a tendency to, because there's always the next thing and the next thing to attend to, and so. That was probably his main effect, was just keeping it out there. And apparently it worked, because it made Nixon mad.
Yeah. Well, Paula, thank you very much for joining me and talking about Dick Cavett.
There you go.
Paula Poundstone is coming to Lincoln tomorrow at the Lead. I'm curious. Let's go back even farther than 4 years ago, back to a time when you were doing comedy in Boston. I asked this question to a radio owner/manager one time, and I got an interesting answer out of him. I wondered if, as a manager, as an owner, if he would have hired himself. And I want to ask the same thing for you. As a manager of a comedy club in your early days, let's say when you were 19, when you're going around the country doing comedy, would you have hired yourself for a comedy gig?
Yeah. Which, and by the way, a lot of people didn't. I started out doing open mic nights in 1979, And I don't really know what it was sort of. I read a book years ago about the history of man's relationship with water. And as near as I can understand, the various continents came to the idea of water travel at about the same time. And we had, I say we as if I was on these continents at the time. But the continents had no experience of one another. You know, they couldn't be influenced. They couldn't go, well, you know, the Australians did it. Let's us do it. Because they had no way of communicating with one another. They didn't even know somebody was on another continent. So I've never known why that was. But in the same way, although not as important, in the late 70s, early 80s, comedy sort of had this resurgence, stand-up comedy did, in a variety of cities all at about the same time, and I've never really known why. But at the time, I started out in Boston doing open mic nights, and when you think about it, well, okay, before there were open mic nights and there was this resurgence in stand-up comedy, well, then where did these comics come from that one was paying to see, you know, the quote-unquote professional shows? And so we have these guys in Boston that weren't very good at all because they didn't have very much stage time. They'd just started out. And the way the producers dealt with that, that had started these shows, was instead of having an MC, a middle act, and a headliner, they had like six acts, and each of the acts had like 5 minutes. And so there were, those 5 minutes were relatively strong. But anyways, my point is I was 5 minutes away from being one of the, professional comics in Boston. And I wasn't part of the in crowd. And so I didn't really get work very much at all in Boston in the beginning. Then I went around the country. I took a Greyhound bus around the country to see what clubs were like in different cities, and I worked and I worked. And I sort of ended up in San Francisco, where I found a crowd that I really enjoyed. And when I went back to Boston, now it was all the rage. But I decided from... You know, there were acts that used to, when there was the MC, middle act, headliner format, there were acts who were always coming up to me saying, you know, how can I get this guy, because there was always guys that owned the places, how can I get this guy to make me a middle act instead of an MC? Or they would say, I want a headline. I don't want a middle. And we used to say to them, you know, you're a fool. I'd say, make yourself the best middle act you could possibly be and charge whatever you want for it, as opposed to wedging yourself in. So I made this deal with myself that I would work and work and work to get good enough that if somebody didn't hire me, they looked like an idiot. And so this is why I would hire me, because I wouldn't want to look like an idiot. There.
Very good. Good. Long answer for a short
question. I was about to say,
question.
I'll bet the radio guy you asked answered it in like 2 sentences. Yeah.
No, but here's what you do, Paula, and you do it so very well. Comedy is tough in and of itself, but what you've mastered is ad lib and improvisation. That's hard. In radio, we ad lib, and not everybody can do it, and I've seen it done more poorly than I have well many, many times. But you've mastered that, and that's part of your act, and you're bringing that to Lincoln. You will interact with the audience tomorrow night, won't you?
It's my favorite part. I do the time-honored, where are you from, what do you do for a living? And in this way, little biographies of audience members emerge, and I use that from which to set my sails. So no two shows are ever the same. And, sometimes they'll say something that reminds me of a story, and I tell or a piece of material, and I tell that. And then within the same conversation, obviously, I say stuff that is unique just to that night. It's a little bit like a cocktail party, I think. you know, we go in and first you talk about how hard it was to find parking and that you got lost. And then somebody says, oh, tell that story you used to tell, and so you tell an old story. And then you all talk about current events for a few minutes. And then somebody on the other side of the room spills a drink and you mock them. That's kind of the whole, you know. And the whole time you're thinking in your head, oh, my God, they hate me. I don't do that on stage, but I do it at every party I've ever been to.
Well, it works whether you're in San Francisco, Lincoln, Nebraska, or Boston.
That's my tour route.
Yeah.
I just go back and forth for San Francisco, Lincoln, Nebraska, Boston. One time I did Sioux Falls, but outside of that, it's San Francisco, Lincoln, Nebraska, Boston, and then again.
That's your circuit.
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm hot on that circuit. Can't work anywhere else.
Well, that's the way you get to be one of Comedy Central's 100 greatest stand-ups of all time, by that circuit.
Yeah, it is. I watered it down a little bit with Sioux Falls, but outside of that, San Francisco, Lincoln, Nebraska, Boston. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's the way you do it. Well, hey, Paula, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't paid the right people yet, but I think I'm going to do a meet and greet with you maybe Saturday after your show. I'm going to try to get that all lined up. We can talk about Sioux Falls.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yeah, all the memories.
The Sioux Falls stories I have.
The memories. All right, yeah. Paula, looking forward to it. Thank you. Lincoln, Nebraska, Paula Poundstone is coming tomorrow night to the Lead Center. Thanks for taking some time, Paula. See you tomorrow night.
It was nice talking with you. Okay. Take care.